Savior. As we enter into worship this morning, do what it says in Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, move your spirit in this place as we come and worship you. We give over to you our struggles and burdens so we can praise you fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." He made him to be sin. He took the very specific sins of Ruth Horst, and you may put your name in there, as though he had done that, as though he had said that, and as though he had thought that, and took the full and complete punishment so that we might become the righteousness of God. I pray that each of us would have faith this morning to believe that not only did we deserve to die, but that his sacrifice was enough. Would you stand and sing with us this morning? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. We'll lift the offering during this next song, and the children may bring their coins for my coins count. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Interestingly, these words were spoken by Job, when he was in the midst of deep suffering. And I pray that the grace and power that enabled him to say that would be ours this morning.
Join me in prayer for our offering. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to gather here today. Thank you for the beautiful weather. And thank you for your word, Lord, that you've shared it with us, Lord, and that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We pray a blessing upon this offering for our bishops, our former bishops, and our current Bishop Carl and their families, that they would be blessed by these tithes and offerings, Lord, and that they would continue to spread the word and provide leadership for our pastors at the churches. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Be thou my vision, be my eyesight. Let me see things the way you do.
Lord, by day or by night.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Oh,
Father, we just thank you so much for salvation, for this gift of life and righteousness. I pray your blessing on Tony as he shares, and I pray that we'd all be able to go from here knowing that you are good and your plans for us are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. You can sit over here on this side. Jansen, over here. Over here. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So what did you learn in Sunday school this morning? About fossils? Good. I'm glad you remembered. Hopefully you remembered till now. That was just a short time ago. But you're not in the remembering mode yet. Maybe school just started and you only have a day or so in yet. So should come easier, right? Well, this morning, my sermon is about marriage and singleness, but you're kids, so we're going to go on a different topic this morning. So we're going to talk about bridges. So what is a bridge for? And not the kind on a musical instrument, either. What's a bridge for? You drive over it, yeah. You go from here to there, over top of something.
Water.
Yeah. You could be water. What else goes under bridges?
Sharks.
Sharks? Well, yeah, if they're in the water, they go under bridges. Boats. What else?
Fish.
Yeah, we're stuck on water going under bridges. How about roads? Do roads go under bridges?
Yeah.
That means cars go under bridges, right? What else? Animals. Maybe if an animal has to get from this field to that field, they go under a bridge. And there's a couple of those around. How about trains? Trains go under bridges. And bridges can go over a big canyon, so you could have a canyon underneath. Well, I have some pictures of some bridges. There's a pretty old wooden one. How would you like to drive over that one and look down? Maybe you'd like to walk across that one. Yeah? No? Maybe? Jump up and down while the other people are walking on it going, no! No? You see that bridge? You see what, look, does that look a little strange right in that area? Is it supposed to do that? No. See, that's the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. They called it Galloping Gertie. As the air would flow over the bridge, it would lift the bridge, and it would twist and shake and wobble, and then that happened. And then they rebuilt it and put a mesh deck on it so that the wind could flow through it, and it didn't cause that problem anymore. So we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. See, that means that each one of us in the world has sinned and that we can't get to God. See that big gap in there? God's over here, and we're over here. And there's sin in the middle. See, God is like the winter snow, pure. There's no sin in God. And sin can't be around God. And because we sinned, that means we can't be around God, right? So, what are we supposed to do? See, some people try to build their own bridges by the good things they did, or maybe they come to church every Sunday, or things they believe, or maybe they're just a good person. They try to build their own bridges. But you see this gap here? It just doesn't reach. It's not good enough. Those bridges that people, it's such a big gap you can't jump across. Their bridges fall and they fail because it's not good enough. The only way to God is to accept Jesus as your Savior. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he made a bridge for us. A bridge so that we could get to God and be with him forever. And there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus and accepting him as your Savior. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he made a bridge for us, and we could get to God. All right, you guys have been good listeners. You may have a snack and go back to your seats. Some of you are probably wishing you would have came up and got a snack. Well, I would like to thank you for your prayers this week. I appreciate them. As I prepared for this message, it started last Friday. I started with a sore throat, and it was pretty bad. I could barely talk. It came out as a whisper. And you can still hear the effects from that. I'm still dealing with that. And then as I was driving along, I was putting the window up in my car, and you heard this ping, and then all of a sudden the window started going down by itself. So something broke in the door that I have to fix. And our other vehicle, the check engine light came on. And then last night, my throat started feeling worse, and this morning it was feeling pretty bad, but it's good now, so praise God for that. These were things that could have been very discouraging and weren't. See, God was protecting my family and myself because of your prayers. And I'm sure Larry and anyone else who has preached the gospel of Jesus has faced opposition during times of preparation. See, Satan doesn't want us to speak about God and about his love for us, or about how Jesus came to save us. So keep your prayers coming for us. They are needed and they are definitely felt. We are continuing our series on our church covenant. Our topic today is on marriage and singleness. So I'm going to read the section of the covenant that I'm going to be covering. We affirm both singleness and marriage as gifts from God, and will provide support for the relational needs of each person. We believe that God created us male and female, and that we are called to sexual purity in singleness and in marriage, of one husband to one wife for life. We encourage husbands and wives to take their respective roles in the home, loving one another as Christ loved the church. We support parents in training their children to follow Jesus. I'm going to be using 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for most of this message. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to be picking parts out here and there. There's going to be four parts to this message, and the first one is singleness. Paul, in chapter 1, is writing to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 7 are some responses to what the church wrote to Paul. So we're going to be looking at those responses. So in our church covenant, it states that singleness is a gift from God. I'm sure some of you may not feel that way this morning. You may be feeling that it is a sentence instead of a calling. First Corinthians 7, 32 to 35. I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I'm saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Paul is saying that you as a single person can live a life fully devoted to God. It doesn't have distractions that the married life does. You can go wherever God is calling you, and to what He is calling you, you won't go without worries. Worries of how your family might handle you going to a different country, moving halfway around the world. Your focus can be on, God is calling me to go. See, there's many people that have not followed what God wanted them to do because of their families. They felt it wasn't a good decision. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So as a single person, you may be struggling with the fact that you want to be married and are not. Do you believe what God says in His Word? In Jeremiah 29:11, do you believe that? Have faith in what God has for you. He wants what is best for you. Like any one of us, we need to hold things with an open hand and not hold on to things, but give it up to God and give God control. Well, that's easy for me to say, right? I'm married. It's not easy to say. Paul is telling us that there is a special bond between you and God, because you can be fully devoted to Him. You may not see it as special, but seek God and ask Him, and He will show you that it is special. Look to God to take that place of a spouse. Let God fill that void that you may be feeling. You can do many things in the body of Christ to be a blessing to others. You may have nieces or nephews that you can get involved with their life and be mentors to them and teach them and guide them. Plus, we have many programs with youth and children and young men and the community that you can get involved in. Paul also says that there is trouble that comes along with marriage. And he says that in the end of verse 8 in chapter 7. So you are avoiding trouble if you're not married. And all those that are married, you can attest that it's not always smooth sailing, that there is rough waters. Moving to my second part this morning, marriage. It started in Genesis chapter 1:7. God made Adam out of the dust and breathed life into him. In chapter 2:18, God said, I will make a helper suitable for him. In Genesis 2:22-24. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And he said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. See, at this point, she was his wife. And this is how God intended it, to be one man and one woman for life. But sin messed this up from God's perfect original plan. There may be some troubles, but marriage is a gift from God. Just like God formed Eve for Adam to be his helper, she was a gift to him. In Hebrews 13:4a, it says, let marriage be honored by all. Marriage is good. We have a helper, someone to share our lives with, to have a family. In marriage, God is calling men to be the leaders of their household. I didn't say tyrant or dictator. See, this slide shows what marriage is not supposed to look like. Yes, the husband is supposed to be the leader, but he's not supposed to be above the wife and rule over her. Ephesians 5, it states, wives, submit to your husbands. The husband is the head of the wife. It goes on to say, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. There is supposed to be a spiritual leadership the husband is supposed to have. Marriage is not, I'm in charge and that's the way it goes. It's not supposed to be, I am first and you are second. It's supposed to look like this. It's supposed to be a cycle where if I'm leading my wife as God intended, she will freely submit to my authority. And I'm loving her like Christ loved the church, sacrificing everything, including my life. Following my lead will be easy. And she will show me the respect that I crave from her. See, we're both humbling ourselves, but we're both being lifted up at the same time. Well, how can that work? You're both humbling yourselves and you're both being lifted up at the same time. Well, it does. It's God's design. It works. That's how it's supposed to be. Earlier, I stated that Paul said there could be trouble. See, if this cycle is lopsided, if one person's doing their part but the other one isn't, it will be lopsided. Or like the last slide, one person's ruling over the other one. It can cause hurt and push people apart, and it has been the cause of much destruction in marriages. Another trouble spot from Corinthians 7, 33 to 34. I'm going to read those two verses again. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so she may be holy both in body and spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Our total focus is not on God. We are distracted. We focus on our spouse and their needs, which is good, which we're supposed to do. Like this cycle that I talked about. Our relationship with God suffers because we become so focused on our spouse. And we put God on the back burner until something major pops up and we cry out to God, "Where are you? I need help." So my challenge to you and myself, because I don't get it right all the time, put God first every day, then your spouse and family. And it's amazing the difference what it makes when we put God first. See, my kids are in three different sports right now, and there's a lot of running around. Quiet time with God can easily be lost in the shuffle. It takes deliberate action to put God first. I started talking about single people and then moved to married couples. The third area this morning is widows and widowers. You're in your own category. You are not single because you were married and you have gone through a great loss. You have lost your spouse for whatever reason. Your position goes from full focus on God to being married and splitting your time with your spouse and God to needing to being to clinging to God when you're going through your loss. But you are faced once again with the opportunity to be able to again be fully focused on God. And I couldn't find a really good picture, but if you could see it up close, the one car is really blurry and the other one's a lot better. There's a difference. A full, clear focus on God and what He is calling you to do. You may be thinking yourself too old to follow God's call for yourself. But if Abraham can have a child at 100 years old, as it tells us in Genesis 25, then you have a lot of time left and you have a lot to give. It doesn't matter where He wants you to go. There are plenty of opportunities in the church to focus on God. So in closing, which brings me to my fourth point, We as a church, whether you are married, single, or a widow or widower, be content where God has called you to be. There is something special about being single, about being married, or about being widowed. And it tells us that in God's word. Each one of us is to live a life of purity, physically, mentally, and spiritually. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. The situation that you fit in doesn't change the fact that we, each one of us, who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are to treat our body as a temple of the Lord. We are to control our thoughts and actions. To singles, your eyes and your thoughts need to be on God. There's a lot of stuff in this world that tries to pull you away from that. Focus your eyes and your thoughts on God. For those who are married, your eyes and your thoughts need to be on God and your spouse. Again, there's a lot of things in this world pulling us away from that. Widows and widowers, your eyes and thoughts need to be on God, which is a change since your spouse isn't here anymore. Lean on God. Ask Him to help you in this area and in this change. Revelation 19, 7 to 9. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. He then said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. He also said to me, these words of God are true. We as a church will be presented to Christ as a bride. We will one day enjoy a wedding feast with Christ. So live a life focused on God in action and in thought. Be content in the situation that God has you in right now. Seek Him every day. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You have called each one of us to the stage and place we are in right now. We ask You to help us focus fully on You with all of our hearts. You know what our desires are and the situation we are in. Give us peace to follow You and be content where we are. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us. Draw us closer to You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I'm going to now turn our service over to Justin or whoever's in charge of the next part.
Hello again. We are going to take some time to do another occupational commissioning today for those working in education and in child care. If you go on our church website, it tells us that on there that we are called by God and sent into the world. And on there it also says that we are a fellowship of Christians committed to continuing the work that Jesus Christ began. We believe Christ has sent us into the world as his witnesses. And the verse that we've been using for this commission stuff comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20. Says that, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf be reconciled to God. God uses us wherever we are, and we're going to continue this period of time to recognize those in different occupations and where you are that God is using you. So we're going to have Amanda come up and share about her occupation.
Good morning. I've been asked to share this morning about my role in education. For those of you that don't know, I am a special education teacher, and I currently teach in a cyber charter school. Pretty much the best way I can explain that is I'm the teacher, the students do their schoolwork in the comfort of their own home. I've had many different experiences, teaching experiences in many different districts and schools. Some are filled with memories that are absolutely wonderful, and some are filled with memories I want to forget. But the one thing that remained through all of them was God's faithfulness and direction. When I was thinking about my role as a teacher, teaching only covers a small part of what I do each day. Some days I'm a nurse, a counselor, a cheerleader, and honestly, for some of my students, I may even be considered a parent. Don't get me wrong, I love teaching an actual lesson. Whether it's teaching about telling time, understanding poetry, or the original 13 colonies. But what I love most about my job is seeing the joy in a student's face when they discover something for the first time, or finally achieving a goal that's been laid out for them. Not every lesson or every school day is perfect, as those of you in education know that. Sometimes the struggles of life can take over the atmosphere of the classroom or even the capability of a student to learn for the day. As a congregation, we're participating in the Pray For Me campaign to pray for all the students in our congregation. I would also encourage you to pray for those of us that work with these students and others in the classroom each day. Pray that we will seek out God's wisdom in all circumstances, but most importantly, pray that even in a place where it's hard, or sometimes you're strongly encouraged to not be public about your faith in the classroom, we can still be examples of Christ in our interactions with the students, staff, and families we come in contact with.
Thank you for that, Sharon. An important role as you work with children, all these people that work with children, an important role that you can have. At this time, we're going to ask those who work in education and in childcare to come on up here for commission in prayer. And there are some lists of names up there. If you are not on that list, but you work in childcare and education, you can still come up and have that commission in prayer. So I ask you to come up now. And you can just gather somewhere up front here.
I would encourage you to extend your hand of blessing toward this group, and at the same time think of those others who you may know that are also involved in this occupation that aren't here this morning, and let's hold them in prayer as well. Let's bow our heads for a commissioning prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the curiosity that you have placed in the human mind, for the patience and love that you have placed in the hearts of these people here and those whom they represent. God, we ask that you would just give them wisdom and knowing how to tap into and connect with that curiosity. And Lord, we know that sometimes that doesn't happen in the classroom or in traditional settings, and yet that's the structure we have to work with. And we just ask that you would give wisdom and patience, Lord, and help these people to see your imprint in the lives of students with whom they interact, and especially those that may be hard to love some days. Those that are distracted, those that are discouraged, those that are curious about things other than what's on the subject list for the day. Just give them wisdom and patience, Lord, that they would continue to show your love and to help those whom they teach to discover your word, your greatness, and your creation, that every action and word would point to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you. And you guys may go down because I accidentally forgot the certificates over in the office. So if you see me after church, I'll be up here. I'll have them and you can get them. Thank you. And just one other thing, I'll make note that in a couple weeks, September 8th, I think we're going to try and plan to do another commission for those who are retired. So you can plan on that, and then I'll turn it back.
Brian, to come forward.
Good morning. So, if you're a student, why don't you raise your hand? We're going to have a prayer for students and everyone involved in back-to-school stuff. Raise your hand high. I don't see many hands. Okay, look around. There's a lot of students here getting ready to go back to school. So, that's great. So, I had no idea that that many people were involved in teaching and childcare in our congregation. I was going through my mind. I could think of like three or four, but it's amazing. That's great. So back to school time affects us all, not just students. It affects moms and dads spending time at home with their kids over summer and they have to make an adjustment now that they're not. Maybe your neighbors are out playing in the yard and you're listening to them if you're home through the day and you're not going to be hearing them anymore. I know for me, I'm going from a crew of some days three or four down to a crew of two now that kids are going back to school at work. So let's just take a minute and pray for those that are going back to school. God, I just thank you for the way that you created us with the ability to learn and remember what we learned. And I just pray that you're with those students that are learning. And I just pray that you can help it stick and help them to understand what they're doing. And Lord, school's not just about academics, but it's also about social development. I know a lot of students are involved in extracurricular activities and things, and I just pray that as they're involved in those, that they realize it's not just about how good their performance is or about winning or losing, that it's about making relationships with other people, and just pray that if they get a chance to share about you with other people, that they would do that. I just pray that they can make friendships that would last a lifetime. And I just also finally, Lord, I just want to pray for the rest of us that are adjusting because we're not seeing the neighbor kids or our grandchildren as much anymore, or we're missing crew members or whatever. Lord, I just pray for everyone involved in the back-to-school season here. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you going to pray for the...
Mm-hmm. I would invite Rick to come forward and share.
Well, this morning I stand here not saying anything about Sunday school. so sorry. This morning I stand here grateful and joyful. Last Sunday I had shared with you, if anybody wants to write a letter to Javen Jackson, that I'm going to be seeing him. I'm grateful to say that some of you took that opportunity and put some letters in my mailbox, and I will make sure he gets them. The second thing I want to say is, to thank you to all of you who continue to pray for the Flowing Waters people. This past week, we have had an experience at Flowing Waters that was very joyful. I want to say I have a paper with everybody's name here and who the prayer partners are. So Wilmer and Marie Lehman have been praying for Javen Jackson, who you guys wrote letters to. Wilmer and Marie have also been praying for, and I hope that it's on my papers, I hope these are for Darian Anderson. Darian has been coming to group off and on. He lives out here in Bowmansville for the past couple years. And Tuesday night, for some reason, he accepted Christ. And we got to pray over him. He wants to be baptized. So Brian and Larry Weber are going to take care of that. So your prayers are being answered. We had another guy that came, Dave Riviera, who was the first time we met him. He asked a lot of questions. Long story short, he was saying that he had some back issues, and we asked if we could pray over him, and over the prayer time, he accepted Christ. So we had two people in one night accept Christ, which is an awesome privilege, but yet it's very humbling. So I want to say with Dave Riviera, he is a guy that works locally here in Bowmansville. We have prayer partners for him, who is Janie Nault and Keith Brubacher. So I would just ask you continue to pray for this community. There's a lot happening. If you forget who your prayer partner is, you can ask me. I actually found the list, so I can tell you who you're supposed to be praying for. So, also on the note, I would like to ask you to continue to pray for Brian Horst, as Monday is the start of his STEP program. So he is going through the STEP program right now. So just pray that God would lead and guide him, and that you guys, even though you don't know it, are reaping a harvest of people coming to Christ. And I want you guys to know that, because you are wholeheartedly involved in the Flowing Waters, even if you do not come there Tuesday nights. So thank you, and keep praying.
Thank you for sharing, Rick. It's important for us to hear what God is doing and how God is moving. And praise God that people are coming to Christ. So now I'd like to have a prayer for the before and after school program. Anyone involved in that, I'd like you to please stand up so we can see who you are. And they're meeting a big need in our community. And I'm sure any one of you who would go to them and say, I want to help out, they would gladly accept you to help out, as long as you meet their requirements. So I'd like you to raise a hand towards the person close to you, and we'll have a prayer for the before and after school program. Lord, this program was birthed to fill a need in our community, that the kids can be watched before school starts and after it's over, so the parents can get to work and the kids can hear about Jesus. I just pray for all the leaders in this program that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Give them a peace. Give them a comfort. Give them patience. And I just pray that many children will come to a faith in you through their hard work and effort. I just pray that you will bring people in to help with the program. Just pour out your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So for those who signed up for the Pray For Me campaign, and you weren't here last Sunday, after the service, please go to the main basement and you can be paired up with the person you're supposed to pray for. So I would invite our worship team up to have our closing song. And then after that, I'll have the benediction. Thank you.
We talked about a lot of different situations people are in, and this song kind of says it for all of us. Great is his faithfulness.
Will you stand for the parting benediction? Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. You're dismissed.